For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As we do every Friday, it's a visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and the new year is just about here and upon us, and we say Happy New Year to Ben Fredrickson of the Post. How we doing?
Happy New Year, Dan. Doing well, man. Hope everybody had a good and happy holiday season and getting their resolutions ready to roll for 2022. I'm good. I'm trying to hide from working a few more days. We'll be back at it full blast here starting Monday.
Yeah, it should be a busy time, and looking forward to what 22 has to offer. And I thought this would be kind of fun to do a little year in review, specifically with baseball. And as always, we're brought to you by Lou Fuse. Newer used cars, whatever model you're looking for, think about the good folks at Fuse, Fuse.com. As you review the baseball season of 2021, historic ride, historically bad month, the arrival of Nolan Arenado. I mean, there's so much to get into, but generally speaking, what do you think of the season that the Cardinals put together?
A pretty interesting year for the Cardinals, Dan. I mean, remember, it starts under the cloud of COVID uncertainty. Can they make it through a full year? What's it going to look like? And that was a success. You know, you have a season that very rarely for the Cardinals, one that looks like it could be kind of over before the games run out. And then they fight back. They go on a historic 16-game winning streak. You've got a new superstar debuted pretty well all around in Nolan Arenado. You get a postseason appearance that ends with a tough loss to the Dodgers. And you just when you think, okay, this team is in a spot to have a lot of optimism, pretty predictable storylines heading into the offseason, there's a sudden change and a new manager. So it's always big news when there's a new Cardinals manager, because it's probably the most talked about, critiqued, discussed job in St. Louis sports. So all of those storylines, throw in the fact that Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina are going to be back for one more ride. Oh, and by the way, we're sitting here with our fingers crossed that there will be a normal season next year with the lockout. Pretty eventful, kind of a topsy-turvy season, but certainly plenty to discuss, and perhaps in some ways a good time to really dig into it again, because we can't exactly look forward to next year yet because we don't quite know what that season is going to look like. But to me, I think this season starts with where things got off track for the Cardinals and how they got back on track. This was a team that really kind of found its way in two phases, hitting. And we saw whether it was the you know, whatever happened to make Jeff Albert's methods click, or Mike Schilt's intervention in it, or a combination of the two, something worked. And this team started finding better offense consistently, kind of, you know, starting in June. You also had a loss of an ability to throw strikes and to not walk guys. And the Cardinals made some moves that got that depth shored up, and it paid dividends immediately with guys like John Lester and Jay Happ. We saw some moves, even going back to Wade LeBlanc, that got the Cardinals back to taking advantage of that defense that they'd built. And when those two things started going together, we saw something that had never been done before. The Cardinals rip off 16 consecutive wins starting on September 11th. They remember looking at those playoff chances, and they looked like an EKG graph of someone who was taking their last breaths there. And from there, they went to postseason locks. And we're right there with a chance to advance against the Dodgers in a game that went the wrong way for the Cardinals, but they were every bit in it until it turned.
Yeah, the Cardinals win 17 in a row, and that final win of that streak puts them into postseason play. So they go on this historic run to get into the postseason. And let's talk about the streak. I mean, it was amazing in terms of what we saw from Tyler O'Neill. Maybe he has turned into the player that the Cardinals thought when they traded Marco Gonzalez, a frontline starter for the Mariners, to this, you know, kind of an unpolished diamond and all of a sudden he got polished in the second half. He looked awesome. We saw the defense was remarkable during that streak, to the point that you made earlier. Guys were throwing strikes. They used the defense. The Cardinals finish up with five Gold Glovers. And the one play I think that kind of summed up everything was that great Wrigley Field four-game sweep and the improbable double play. And speaking of Tyler O'Neill, and I know you know the play I'm talking about, but he comes in from the outfield. Harrison Bader turns out to be a part of this, the center fielder of the double play on the infield. And Tyler O'Neill has got his hands on his hips, like basically on the shortstop dirt, kind of shaking his head and watching the whole thing unfold. For me, it's one of the most remarkable defensive plays I've ever seen. I've done a lot of Cardinal baseball. I've never seen anything like that, and I probably never will. And that's the beauty of watching this stuff.
Yeah, the old 3254286 double play, the phone number double play. You called it live. And that's got to be high on your list. Did they teach you that one at Lindenwood, Dan? Did they have that one in the broadcast class out there?
No, but you know what? When I see things like that, I think of the late, great Hall of Famer Red Shaneydeast, and he would always come in our booth and just say hello. But when you talk to him, he said, the best thing about coming to the ballpark, and he goes, I don't care if it's a blowout one way or another, your team's doing well, whatever. He said, you're going to see something you've never seen before. And he's right. Every game has that. And that was, trust me, I'd never seen that before, and I'm not sure many have.
Yeah, I think that to me was in some ways a microcosm of what this team's strength was.
Exactly.
They were prepared. They were determined that their defense could face any situation and get out of it as long as the ball was in play and not hit out of the ballpark. They had each other's backs, and they were detail oriented. And that to me is the strength of this team that they have to take advantage of moving forward. This defense is elite. Did something historic in Gold Glove awards this year. What's the two times your defense can't help you is if you're walking guys or letting the ball get out of the ballpark via home run. So the Cardinals have really gone after guys who are going to throw strikes, going to put the ball on the ground, or at least make opponents hit it. And if you put the ball in play against this Cardinals defense, you're going to have to get pretty lucky for it to land somewhere on dirt or grass or not in a first baseman's glove, because these outfielders are fast. They cover a lot of ground. They've got their communication worked out. You know, for a while, it was kind of like we saw in real time in previous seasons, Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader kind of figuring out where one territory stops and another ends, and who would want to run into Tyler O'Neill? Nobody. But they've kind of got that figured out. Carlson has got his thing figured out, and that outfield entering the season was a huge question mark. The Cardinals wanted more time for that group. We saw why. And now there's this Cardinals fan favorite, Lars Nootbaar, who seems eager and willing to take over the fourth outfield spot. So when that group got healthy, I think that was one of the positives of the season. But the defense just feeds on through the infield. Tommy Edman, I mean, to win a Gold Glove at second base, no one thought that Colton Wong would be in the National League and not win that award. He's playing for the Brewers. Tommy Edman gets it. Paul Goldschmidt is as good as you'll find at first. Nolan Arenado is as good as advertised at third. And then, you know, Paul DeJong and Edmundo Sosa, even while their performance was not as hoped for all the time offensively, you know, they still play a pretty solid defense. So the defense is rock solid. They have to try to find a little bit more proven middle infield production offensively, but without sacrificing, sacrificing the defense that has become their strength. So I think that's going to be a key for this team moving forward, Dan, is how do they keep that defense rock solid, but also, you know, not neglecting the fact that they need a little more from that kind of combined shortstop, second base in terms of OPS for middle infield. Now, the good thing is they kind of have, they have two things. They've got four guys who can help there right away, between Edman, DeJong, Sosa. I'd throw Nolan Gorman in there. Seems like reports are going well on his picking up speed at second base. And you also have, you know, a guy like Donovan who could come in and play right away. Maybe we don't talk about him enough. But so you've got a cast of characters who could kind of feed into that group. And depending on the split, the platoon approach that Marmol wants to use, maybe that becomes more options means more production there. They also have time after the lockout ends, hopefully, fingers crossed, to perhaps look at those spots and say, hey, could there be an upgrade there? Maybe it's, you know, maybe Trevor Story isn't realistic, but if he's sitting around waiting on a 1 year deal with a team that he thinks can make, can go deep, then I don't think he would get too far down that list before thinking the Cardinals could be a pleasant option. Maybe that doesn't happen, but the Cardinals did position themselves with a chance to perhaps look around a little bit once some crazy things start happening after the lockout ends. But keeping that strong defense in line with their hopes to improve their offense, that's got to be a must.
I'm not sure you could have asked for a better year from Nolan Arenado. Wins another Gold Glove, Platinum Glove, one of five Gold Glovers. They had six that finished up the year having a chance to win it, be a finalist. Five of the six won, and Nolan did it at the plate as well. So obviously he's back for another year. He went to John Mozeliak personally and said, look, don't worry about it. I'm picking up my option. I'm staying. But as you review last year, as we do here with Ben Fredrickson of the Cardinal season of 2021, Nolan Arenado, obviously a big part of it.
34 homers, 105 RBIs, slugged nearly .500 with a plus above .800 OPS in his debut. I think the most important thing this season, Dan, you know, look, people probably made too much about the home road splits. Can he hit outside of Colorado? This guy's an incredibly good elite player who's still, you know, in the prime of his career. Those were always overblown. What I was worried about, concerned about, was the shoulder. Remember, he had a down year in 2020. The shoulder injury pulled him out early. This is a guy who plays all the time. And I was curious, was he going to bounce back from that? Was that going to have lingering issues? We saw not that long ago a key Cardinals addition in Marcell Ozuna, who was not right, at least in his debut season, because of a shoulder injury that followed him. So Nolan answered those questions pretty early. Yeah, that high finish to his swing. He was swinging with power and was able to have that launch, that lift. 34 homers, 105 RBIs. The Cardinals had been missing a presence like this from their lineup. And when you have it, it helps Paul Goldschmidt, who was an MVP vote recipient caliber player this year. It helps a guy like Tyler O'Neill, who made some noise in that discussion. So his arrival did so much. Obviously, defensively, we saw that night in and night out. But lineup-wise, he let everybody else kind of breathe. And he wasn't always perfect, but he was really good most of the season. And that shows up in the final numbers.
I really felt if the Cardinals beat the Dodgers in that one-game playoff, I thought they were going to the World Series. They had so much momentum. They had turned themselves into being one of the better teams in the league. Again, though, momentum, a big part of it with what happened in September. I guess it's also kind of appropriate that Alex Reyes was on the mound for that final pitch of the season, and we'll see what happens in 22. But I don't know about you. I felt like, you know, Adam Wainwright obviously pitched well. They couldn't come up with the big hit. Chris Taylor does for the Dodgers. But if they won that game, I don't know. Maybe I'm off base here. I just thought they had a shot to get to the World Series.
Well, they were as confident as any team could possibly be entering the playoffs, and you saw them go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers, and that was on display. You know, you had Adam Wainwright on the mound, and he pitched as well as anybody in baseball that season. I think it just kind of came back to the question that still will be in front of this offense is, can they find a way to have their best possible offense against the best possible pitching? It seems like that's the next step for the Cardinals is, can they have an offense that booms against really good pitching, the kind of pitching that teams like the Dodgers are going to be able to throw at them. We know they can jump bad teams, and they do. And there's a lot of bad pitching comparatively out there, especially at times in the National League Central. For some of these teams moving forward, some of these teams are not as interested in the Cardinals about competing. But can they get this lineup going against really good pitching? That's going to be the question moving forward. But I'm with you, Dan. I mean, covering that game, it did not feel like one the Cardinals were just, you know, up against a Goliath they couldn't beat. They were in that game. Tommy Edman stands out to me, was playing one of his best games, that he was all over the place. And the Cardinals had a shot. You know, the Scherzer was not just unbeatable. They had their chance. The one thing that also stands out, and I think the Cardinals look at this offseason, and it's hard to ignore a guy in that game, you know, a guy like Chris Taylor, who kind of had a down year, but is an all-star and struggled, ends up having the big hit. I mean, stuff like that, when you have the depth of a team and the depth of a lineup, Those things are what show up big in the postseason. So I hate that it happened to Alex Reyes. I thought Alex had a pretty impressive year, man. When you think about what he actually went through to get to that point, how he kind of was thrust into that closer spot. He saved 29 out of 34 opportunities. He does want to be a starter. The Cardinals want him to be a starter. I don't know that you can put him back in that closer role after what happened. And maybe there's a different role for him, but I think he's a valuable pitcher for this team. And I would hate to see that mistaken pitch to Chris Taylor define him. I hope he gets a chance to build off of it and to make that a footnote.
Yeah, I think he will. And he's a talented kid and will bounce back. Then you had the managerial change in the offseason with Mike Schilt going to Ollie Marmol. A lot has been made of that, so it'll be that's one of my storylines looking at 2022, and I know we're reflecting on what happened in 21, but people are going to get the chance to find out about Ollie Marmol, and Mike Schilt is going to work for the commissioner's office. Wouldn't surprise me if he winds up working for a team as well. We'll see, but that is obviously a storyline of this season too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two ways to look at it. One is, you know, as time passes, will there be more insight, more things said on the record about what went down between Schilt and the Cardinals? But there's already this other storyline, and that's the backward-looking one. The forward-looking one is, hey, what kind of stamp is Ollie going to put on this job as the manager? We've already heard a little bit from him. The lineup, it sounds like, is going to be more fluid. He's going to be more willing to play more guys, and that's going to be something where you show up to the ballpark every day, and you could see something different based off of recent performance, but also the matchup the opponent gives you. And his challenge will be to get everybody on board with that. I think the modern player, Dan, is much more on board with that. But there are still guys who want to play every day. They want to know where they're hitting every day in the lineup. They like that consistency. And it will be Ollie's job, if he's going to move the needle in a more modern direction there, to sell them on why it works. And the best thing, the best reason they can be sold on why it works is because they win. It's easy to do new things, to be innovative when you're winning. It gets harder to get people to buy in when you're hitting some turbulence. So that will be his challenge. I think people will see a detail-oriented manager, a guy who is very, very focused. That it's going to be interesting to see how Ollie not changes necessarily, but what comes out of him now that he's in the big seat. Everybody thinks they know how they'll handle that job before they're in it. Now he'll get his chance. And one of the things, and I'll give John Mozeliak credit here, he said when it came to his decision to move on from Mike Schilt and give Ollie Marmol this opportunity, he said knowing that Ollie Marmol was on the staff made it easier for him to make that call. They thought he was going to be a manager sooner rather than later, whether it was with them or another team, and they didn't want to see his upside, his potential managing against them, and that did help inform their decision, along with whatever, you know, bad blood boiled over between Schilt and the front office. So this comes with Schilt's endorsement. He and Ollie are close, and now Ollie gets a shot to show what he can do. I think it'll be really fun to see how Ollie goes about trying to maybe do things a little more new age while also keeping those kind of staples that he and Mike Schilt helped build. The defense has to be there. The base running has to be good. We Cardinals fans have been treated in recent years to teams that have reminded them of the things that they missed about Cardinals baseball and now have given them back, like solid defensive play, good base running. He's got to keep those things sharp while also putting his own spin on things. That to me is the most compelling storyline this year, is what does this team look like as managed by Ollie? And also, you know, if he is indeed going to have a stronger relationship with the front office, how will that look like the front office doing things that can help him win some more games? If the Cardinals made this switch, and they say they did, to have better unity, then there should be signs of that. And that's going to be a big storyline. I think perhaps the biggest for 2022.
You can't overlook last season without talking about Adam Wainwright and the year that he had. And then you look ahead, it could be Adam's last year, along with what we know for sure will be, well, at least we'd like to think so, the final year for Yadier Molina. But Waino just continues to defy the odds of Father Time, and in many ways, so does Yadi.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive, and both impressive, certainly as their careers, what they mean to the Cardinals. Adam Wainwright, Dan, I got a theory on this. I think he is the most impressive post-pandemic pitcher in baseball. And hear me out on this. Since the pandemic started, so since we started playing pandemic sports, which was the 2020 season, Adam Wainwright is 22-10. He has pitched 272 innings, and he has an ERA of 3.08. This isn't good for an old guy. I know he likes to poke fun at himself and the age jokes. He plays along with them. That is the second most innings pitched in baseball during that time. It's the most wins out of anybody. And it's among the best ERAs. I mean, you look at his quality starts, they're off the charts. This guy, since the pandemic, has turned everything on its head. Since everybody, you know, wonders, are we actually going to play a game today? Is there who are we going to have on our team? Since sports have been at their most unpredictable, he has been at his most reliable. And I think that for all the stuff we talk about his age, which I get, I think we need to talk about that a little bit more. The fact that as baseball has been absurd, Adam Wainwright has been the guy who comes in, he shuts down losing streaks, he starts winning streaks, he has mentored guys on the staff, not just young guys, but old guys, fellow old guys. John Lester saying, I wouldn't be the guy I am for this Cardinals team without learning from Adam Wainwright. It's been remarkable. I'm glad they're back for one more ride. They deserve a deep postseason run if this is indeed the year, and I hope it happens for them.
I do too. And I'm with you. I did hear what you had to say there. I think he is the anti-2022 ball player. And what I mean by that is that while guys are trying to throw 95 and do, almost everybody does, or get to 100 or beyond triple digits, he's a pitcher. And I know that's a very general statement, and it's very easy to say that, but you watch how he carves up the young hitters, and how are these young hitters brought to the big leagues, or how did they get to pro ball? Well, they could run, they could throw hard, or they launch and they hit for power. And so it's not a guy that's trying to hit the ball the other way or hit behind a runner or put the ball in play, and strikeouts are accepted, and he's out there carving guys up. So there's no reason to think, as long as he's healthy, that he can't continue with the efficiency that he's had.
Yeah, why not? It's not like he's doing something that is beyond his capabilities. He's not, you know, tearing his arm up trying to throw it as hard as he can. He doesn't have a new catcher that he has to work on his strengths and weaknesses with. As long as he feels good physically, why couldn't he keep doing this? It's not exactly like baseball is all of a sudden going to adapt this fast to figure out what he's doing. I think he's done a great job of figuring out, okay, I'm going to zig where other people are zagging, and I'm going to reap the rewards of it. And there's another thing too. And so that's the physics side of it, right? He's like, I'll dial a little bit off. I'll hit the corners. They're all thinking I'm going here, I'll go here. That's the pitching side of it. But there's also a mental side of it. And I think where the mental side of it for Wainwright, the more he's talked about this, I don't want to say house money, because that makes it feel like he hasn't earned it. But he has said, look, if I go out there, you know, next year and I throw one pitch and my arm pops and I can't do this anymore, I can walk away and feel like I did it. I came back when no one thought I could, and I had a heck of a lot of fun. And now it's the next time. Now it's time for the next chapter. Having that kind of freedom, that kind of relief from pressure. Now, that's not a lack of competition. He wants to go out there and get everybody out. He wants to go out there and throw nine innings or more every time he takes the mound. So this, it's not like, oh, he's just out there, you know, seeing how it goes. But he's not out there to prove his critics wrong. He's not out there feuding with the naysayers. He's out there saying, I enjoy doing this. I'm still doing it well. And I have no worries about what might come tomorrow. And that's a powerful place to be. Athletes spend a lot of time, Dan, trying to get there. And if they can, very few do. But with the few who do, they tend to be able to do this for a long time and do it well. And we'll see what he feels like after this season. I hope it's not a shortened one. I hope it's a full one, because if he has another year like he did last year, then that Cooperstown case is going to look a little different, depending on the way things play out. So he's got plenty to play for. He and Yadi will continue to set records, and he wants to leave with another ring, I imagine, as certainly does Yadi or Molina. So plenty of motivation, but there's something about not knowing that you have nothing left to prove, but still being really good and enjoying it, that is a special place, and he's living in it.
Hey, I've been saying for a couple of years, if he decides to continue to play and stays healthy, and people thought I was crazy, that maybe it is a Cooperstown guy, and I don't think I'm that far off in that, and it'll be interesting if he has another solid year if he wants to come back for one more season. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, it's our year in review looking at the Cardinals. Long overdue, especially at the time of his retirement compared to other catchers where he was and runs batted in and hits and average, his longevity being on the turf of St. Louis and how many games he played in the heat of the summer. I mean, Ted Simmons, and seeing not only him going into Cooperstown and Larry Walker, which we should mention, but it was so cool to see him get a statue and to see his number retired. And he's going in as a Cardinal and is very proud to do it and has given me the reasons why. You know, it's a historic franchise. Why wouldn't you do it? And then went into a long answer as to the other franchises that are historic, and he said the Cardinals are right there with him. Long overdue, Ben, but it was awesome to see finally Simba go into the Hall of Fame and then the just due that he got wearing that Cardinals red jacket, the number retired, and the statue ceremony.
Yeah, and a Hall of Fame orator in addition to baseball player, more people one of the silver linings of the wait, which should not have lasted as long as it did, was that more people got to hear Ted Simmons talk about how he viewed waiting longer than he should have for the Hall of Fame. He could have been bitter. He could have asked to take his name out of consideration. He embraced it, and he found the beauty in it, and he is one of the most remarkable people. As your conversations with them have highlighted, and anybody who's been privileged enough to talk with him or share an audience with him at any time is better off for it. I loved what he said when they revealed his statue down at Busch Stadium. He said, "I lived a charmed life because all my dreams came true. I don't care who you are and what your age is. Keep those dreams and they will enrich your life. The pursuit of them will be worth the chase." It's true in baseball. It's true in anything you can do. Enjoy the process of it, embrace it, find the fun in it, because sometimes you get to the end and pretty much all you do is think about what led you to get there. So pretty powerful word from Ted Simmons, and not a bad way, Dan, to enter a new year thinking about what he said.
Absolutely. Well put. So I'll wrap it up with this. And again, we do this every Friday with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Happy New Year, buddy. And so you said you really don't have any resolutions? You're not working on anything? You're just perfect?
No, heck no. I haven't started my list yet. So maybe that's my resolution, is to stop procrastinating. But
that's probably
right. I'm a sports writer. Without deadlines, they wouldn't get out of bed.
There's a lot of truth to that, man. I see you guys scrambling late at night. I'm like, well, I kind of feel sorry for him, but not really. Let them sweat a little bit.
I think your resolution needs to be to take a couple more days off.
Yeah, you know, I am going to do that, actually. It was kind of by design, but also the fact that we hopefully are traveling this year with the club and doing some road games, and makes it a little bit more difficult to do some of the things I was doing outside of doing baseball games if you're not at home. So maybe that'll be the case this year. We'll have to wait and see, and things will settle down, and we'll have a normal baseball season, which is what I know everybody wants. And that's what I'm really hoping for in this upcoming season, and just to enjoy it. Slow down, man, and just enjoy it. It's been a fun ride for me, and it should be a fun season coming up. I think this team's got a chance to be pretty darn good.
I do, too. I hope they get a full shot at it, and I'm curious to see what level or not the Cardinals are involved in the madness that awaits when the lockout ends. So let's hope that we don't go too long before we're talking about some of those scenarios, perhaps.
Agreed. Hey, buddy, have a great weekend. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.